7 in New York to see what might be done. Malcolm, in turn, spoke with Elijah Muhammad, and lo and behold, for the first time in the history of the Nation of Islam, Malcolm, flanked by Louis Farrakhan and an honor guard of 12 or 13 people, came to the campus of this white university and agreed to talk with white people. I shall never forget, the pro seminar was made up of graduate students and professors from Boston University, from MIT, and from Harvard. And as Malcolm strode into the room, erect and regal, the professor sitting next to me leaned across me and spoke to another professor, and he said, "My God, every one of them's got on a Brooks Brothers suit." Malcolm X was spellbinding. He held those learned professors enthralled for all of 2.5 hours. In the course of his lecture, he demonstrated his knowledge of history. He demonstrated his knowledge of religion. He spoke in Arabic, he spoke in English, and he spoke in French. And of course, everyone was simply overwhelmed, so overwhelmed that the next week, I had a request from a dean at Harvard, "See if you can get Malcolm X to come over here." I spoke to Malcolm, he spoke to Elijah, and he went to Harvard. That was his second public appearance before a mixed audience. After that, I had a call from Malcolm X, who said, "See if you can arrange for me to speak at Morehouse before some black people." I was able to make that arrangement and to also have arranged to have him speak at Clark. From that time on, Malcolm became the king of the college circuit. I just wanted to share with you that incident of beginning. I want to move on to something else. There came an occasion, sometimes later, when Malcolm X, Alex Haley, Lou Lomax, the black journalist, and I sat in a restaurant down in Harlem having a discussion. And those of you like John Clark who know Lou Lomax know that he was a little bit brash. So he said to Malcolm, "Why don't you forget all of this Mr. Muhammad stuff and take over the movement and lead it yourself?" Malcolm X leaped up from the table as if he had a spring in him. He grew as florid and as red as a man can be, and he said, "Lou, don't ever say anything like that to me again." He said, "All that I am, I owe to the messenger. He brought me from nowhere and made me into what I am, and," said he, "I will never presume to do anything against him." Time went on. A few years later, I received a postcard from Malcolm X. He was then in Saudi Arabia, and he wrote on this postcard, which is now in the Lincoln Collection at Atlanta University, quote, "All of the people I have met in the Middle East would be Jim Crowed in Virginia." time continued. I was teaching at Portland State University out in Portland, Oregon. Malcolm X came to Portland, Oregon, visited me at my home, and we talked and debated all night. He was the most fascinating person that I had ever met. No, I certainly did not teach Malcolm X. Malcolm X taught me, and he taught millions like me. He taught us what it meant to be black and to be proud and to be strong and to be powerful and to search out that to which we were entitled, no matter what the circumstances and no matter the opposition. Malcolm X was the greatest polemicist I have ever met. And even though we were friends, I certainly dreaded the occasion when we were to appear on the Mike Wallace show together, because he would have to go after me as he went after everybody else. So very frankly, I trembled and I shook, and I did not want to go. But Allah was merciful, and so was Malcolm. On a certain Sunday, years later, I was lecturing at a very large Unitarian church in Boston, Sunday afternoon. But the previous Thursday, I had been in contact with Malcolm X, who then had his headquarters in the Teresa Hotel in Harlem. I was at that time teaching at Brown University in Rhode Island, and some of my students had asked me to see if I could get Malcolm X to come up the following Tuesday and to speak to them. I called Malcolm X and I found him in a very, very somber mood. And it isn't like Malcolm X to be somber. So I said, look, Malcolm, how about coming up to Brown and giving a lecture next Tuesday? He said, well, Professor Lincoln, you know I would do anything you asked me to do. And if I am alive on Tuesday, I'll come and lecture, but I may be dead. I said, oh, Malcolm, cut the bull and come on up and speak to the kids. He said, no, I want you to understand me. I want you to take me seriously. He said, on Tuesday, I may be dead. And I said to him, well, if you're really serious and you think that something is about to happen to you, why don't you go to the police? Malcolm said to me, and I shall never forget it, quote, they already know it, close quotes. They already know it. That was on Thursday. On the following Sunday afternoon, at somewhere around 3 o'clock, I was at the lectern lecturing in this huge church in Boston. And someone walked up behind me and handed me slip of paper. And I paused long enough to read it. And the message was, Malcolm X has just been assassinated. I remembered an appropriate scripture and I offered it to the people. I said, tell it not in Gath. Tell it not in the valleys of Escalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines take courage, lest the enemies of the people rejoice. And I sat down. The lecture was over. But Malcolm X was not over. Malcolm X Malcolm X will never be over. Malcolm X is alive and well and doing all right in this room right now. I can see Malcolm X even as I stand here at this lectern. I can see him sitting in that chair there beside John Henry Clark, impatiently waiting for me to finish so that he can get up and give you a real address. We owe a great deal to Malcolm X. He taught us to love ourselves, to respect ourselves. He taught us that we are all black, different shades of black. He taught us that there was a future for us if only we could reclaim our past. He laid the groundwork for something that is happening in America at this moment. 2 years ago, I made the prediction that by the end of this century, Islam would be the second religion in this country. I am very, very seldom wrong with such predictions, but I was wrong with that one. Islam is already the second religion in this country. There are more Muslims than there are Jews. And they are still proliferating. That is going to have a significant cultural and very likely a significant political impact on this society. We have never bother to think in terms of any other religion other than Christianity and Judaism. And as a result, we have made innumerable political mistakes all over the world because we never bothered to learn about Islam, because we never thought that it was important. And so we attempted to confront the rest of the world as though all the world were Christian. It is not. There are a billion people there who are Muslims. There are more Muslims in Indonesia than there ever were in the Middle East. There are Muslims in the Philippines. There are now Muslims in many of the black island countries in the Caribbean. There are Muslims in America in increasingly large numbers. I was recently on a television show called Pursuit of the Dream, and I got some fan mail. I got a long 3-page letter from a woman in North Carolina who described herself as a white Southerner who loved black people because she was a social worker and often found it necessary to pick up little black babies who were soaked in urine. But her real concern was that she had a daughter in high school, and her daughter was very concerned. Her daughter had decided she would no longer wear dresses because the black boys at the school stood in the stairwell, says she, to look up my daughter's dress. I really believe that we have more serious things to think about at the moment. I restrained myself when I answered the lady's letter. I was tempted to say, did they get sick? We have more serious things to think about. And we are in a better position to think about them because Malcolm X lived and taught and showed us how to be men among mere men. I am grateful that I had a chance to know him, to know his wife Betty, and to know the people with whom he was associated. Because I am certain that the time will come, and it is probably not far off, when we will recognize Malcolm X as the giant that he really was, without comparison. Thank you.